At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, folks. He's been on the show before. He is back. He is challenging for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship at Fightland. That is on September 13th in Texas. He is the one, the only, Donovan Dijak. Donovan, how you doing today?
I am doing excellent. How are you?
Doing well. We appreciate you joining us here today. Yes. All right. Sure. Last time we kind of saw you on MLW, you I think murdered Cruel. Is that have you been?
Unfortunately, he's still alive. Yeah.
Oh, he's still alive. Okay. You tossed him over the side of a building, though.
Well, he deserved it. So, and obviously, it wasn't quite enough because once I, you know, checked over the edge to make sure that the murder was completed and successful, it unfortunately was not. He had gotten up and walked away, as most, Jason Voorhees type characters do when you attempt to murder them. They get up and walk away. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to continue to try to end the existence of the Atrocity Cruel. But, you know, it'll be a fun and exciting sort of venture for me to figure out what it's going to take to successfully complete the murder.
Like, we love a good murder on this show.
Who doesn't really? It's kind of one of the more exciting things in the world of professional wrestling, in my opinion.
Big advocate of more murder in wrestling
absolutely.
Here on this show.
Never good enough.
I like Cruel. Cruel's been on the program before. He's nice to us. We don't have any issues with him. I'm all for it.
Yeah, no. I haven't had many pleasant interactions with him, unfortunately. So, yeah, I'm going to have to try to kill him again.
Well, best of luck trying to murder. Well, but you also got Matt Riddle at Fightland. I mean, your attention is divided here. How you dealing with Riddle on one hand, and then Cruel's got his cash in shot as well. So
yeah,
you gotta watch your back here.
While I'm distracted a bit with trying to unalive Cruel, Matt Riddle, I simply need to defeat and pin him to the mat or make him submit. So that's. It's actually a much simpler task than you know, not having to kill a man. I think that this is our third matchup. There's a lot of controversy online because people don't know how to count. But yeah, this is actually the third matchup. I think the issue with it comes from a bit of a mistake that was made. Last match, so the show that you're referring to where Cruel and I had all of these issues, there was an announced match between myself and Matt Riddle, and I think that was billed as the second, which was inaccurate. That should have been billed as the third. So I think that kind of set people's counting off track, because now this one was announced as the third matchup, which it is. That's accurate. Because Riddle and I have faced twice in MLW. I mean, we've faced 1,000 times across all sorts of different companies, but in terms of MLW specifically, this will be our third matchup. And yeah, for some reason, that one was billed as the number two matchup, which it wasn't. It was the third, but it obviously never happened. And then people are like, you know, what's going on? The second match never happened. The second match did happen. It just, that was inaccurately labeled. So now this one as the third is accurately labeled, but you know, who's counting, right? You know, besides me.
Yeah. I'm going to have MLW's back. They meant the second for the MLW Heavyweight Championship. Fair
enough.
Yeah. I talked to you before your first title shot at the MLW Heavyweight Championship against Matt Riddle. What did you learn from that matchup with Riddle? I know you faced Riddle plenty of times in various promotions, but what did you learn from that match particularly that's going to help you in this upcoming match at Fightland?
I learned that he is susceptible. He's a human being, and he has flaws and mistakes and holes in his game, just like everybody else, just like I do. And I was able to nearly capitalize and exploit that. Unfortunately, there was some interference by his filthy bro, Tom Lawler. Tom is dealing with a lot right now, though. I think he recently had surgery. I don't know if he's going to be physically able to be out there. Personally, I'm hoping not, because Tom's a real piece of shit. So yeah, hopefully he's not floating around out there, going to try and pull the ref again and cost me the championship one more time. But, you know, if he is out there, I have some backup plans of my own. So yeah, I'm prepared on a lot of fronts, and I'm going to execute the plan just as I did last time, and it's going to be glorious when I become the rightful MLW World Heavyweight Champion.
You don't have to spoil your backup plans, but you are teammates with Bishop Dyer and the Skyscrapers, which team.
That's my backup.
Okay, all right, there you go.
No spoiler necessary. Bishop Dyer is my backup. He is my tag team partner, and he is, along with me, one of the biggest men on the roster. Fortunately, I mean, the reality of the current MLW rosters, we're probably the largest physically roster in all of professional wrestling. So if you like big men battles, you've come to the right place. But he certainly has my back. You know, Saint Laurent is the brains of the operation, and both of us are the brawn of the operation. We have each other's backs in every circumstance. So yeah, he's definitely going to be available for ass kickings as necessary.
And good backup plan too. Tom Lawler, in his current condition, I don't know how well he is moving, but obviously in his physical prime, MMA fighter, UFC fighter, Bishop mm-hmm. over here, Gold Gloves boxer, does jiu-jitsu tournaments, is tapping out people in jiu-jitsu yep. tournaments all the time now. So the Skyscrapers team, talk to us a little bit more about getting that team together and using the name the Skyscrapers. I was a big fan of Sid and Dan Spivey back in the day, the original Skyscrapers.
Yeah, I'm also a big fan. And don't forget me and Mark Callis as well. The design of the team boils down to Saint Laurent and Court Bauer. So shout out to them for having the vision and the opportunity to make the concept a reality. I'm all for it. I've known Bishop for a very long time. He's a tremendous human being. He's an unbelievable competitor. Very legitimate backgrounds in a number of different circumstances. So yeah, I couldn't ask for anybody else who's, you know, of similar height and stature to me to be able to tag team with. I think we're 1-0 and as a tag team with a major championship under our belts now, and it's going to continue to trend in that direction, because he's an unbelievable competitor, as am I, and I think that we both have our sights set on continuing to impress everybody throughout the entirety of the professional wrestling landscape.
So besides your, you know, of course, eye-catching size of the Skyscrapers, what is kind of the one trait between you and Dyer that kind of will make you dominant MLW tag team champions?
I think it's sort of our variety, right? Even though we're both 6'8", 270 pounds, you know, give or take an inch or 10 or 20 pounds or whatever, we vary in terms of billing and size. We're relatively similar in size and stature, but in terms of our approach to in-ring professional wrestling, there's a lot of variety there, right? Whereas he's, you know, a real hard-nosed sort of, like you mentioned, he's an unbelievable grappler and an unbelievable striker. He's got a Golden Gloves background. He's won multiple Brazilian jiu-jitsu tournaments. And I bring a high-flying aspect to it. I don't know if you saw the clips, but I did. I can still do a 38 years old. It's pretty damn good. I can still do a springboard tornillo. I have all sorts of. I secured the tag team championships with a moonsault off the top ropes after he dropped the opponent with the Death Valley driver. So yeah, it's coming at you from all angles, right? We're not just a one-dimensional, here we are, we're tall, and we're gonna punch you in the face, although we can both punch you in the face, but there's a dynamic, there's a variety to it, which I think is completely unparalleled, not just in professional wrestling today, right? Because we're definitely the tallest tag team in the world right now. But in terms of the entire history of professional wrestling, sure, there's been tag teams that are as tall as us, but there's never been anybody as dynamic as us.
I was going to ask about the clip and then going to CMLL and competing in the Grand Prix. Yeah, your experience at CMLL and in this Grand Prix match, which lasted 82 minutes.
It's very long. Right? tremendous experience. CMLL is one of the top professional wrestling companies in the world. It's I was actually talking to TJP about this because he and I we did a long loop together. I did six shows over the course of 9 days, I think, and he was on all of those with me. We even tagged once together and picked up a victory there, which was nice. CMLL is kind of like, they're kind of frozen in time in like a really good way, in that it's a real throwback to like 70s, 80s, 90s professional wrestling, where you're just doing these long tours and you hit these towns, and the towns themselves, they're so isolated is the wrong term, but they're so like invested in their town, right? So they're selling out these places just every single week, which is completely unheard of in the world of professional wrestling in its present state. But back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, which, by the way, all of these venues were around then, so they've been running these towns for decades and decades, which is probably why it's built up sort of this unique dynamic where these people have just been going to Lucha Libre shows just generationally. You know, they grew up going to these venues every single week, and now as adults they continue to do it. They bring their children. It becomes this infectious sort of system, and it's unbelievable to attend these shows. I mean, the crowds we were sold out basically every night. Arena Mexico, you know, multiple times per month they're selling out Arena Mexico. People are, you know, hanging from the rafters literally. So it's a wild atmosphere. It's the decibel level is through the roof. You mentioned the Grand Prix match, which was unbelievable. It's such a wonderful dynamic to be around. I already can't wait to go back. We have multiple dates lined up. I know, as you mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned this part, but Bishop is making his Mexico debut under the CMLL umbrella as well. So I'm super excited for him and for that opportunity. Hopefully he and I have some matching dates coming up so we can continue to progress our tag team aspirations across the world. Because if you want to wrestle in Mexico, CMLL is definitely the place to do so.
Yeah, I know you're like a student of the game, so like, and to kind of be firsthand for what's going on in CMLL must be like amazing as someone who's been a part of wrestling, had that love for wrestling for so long. Who is kind of like the one person from your time, you know, spending so many shows in Mexico, who's the one person from the CMLL roster that has impressed you the most over your time this year?
That's a great question. The easy answer is Mystico, just because he has so much success there. But I'm going to take a different approach, and I'm going to go with a guy whose name is Zendokin Jr. He's been incredibly impressive to me. Just super young, big, you know, big kid, especially for you know, luchadors, which are historically, you know, high flying types. He does plenty of high flying, but he's just like a bigger sized luchador, which to me is always impressive and sort of speaks to me and my style as well. But he and I have had the opportunity, multiple opportunities, including that Grand Prix matchup, to wrestle each other. And I think that he has all the promise in the world. He's really someone that you want to keep your eye on, because I think he has a bright, bright future in this business.
WWE filed to trademark, this is in August, the Slapjack. And you posted a photo of you. This is the Slapjack mask, right?
What's that?
This is the Slapjack. That's not the T-bar mask. This is the Slapjack mask.
Oh, are you showing the picture that I...
Yeah.
I can't. I assume it's the one where I'm doing this. My daughter. My daughter took that picture.
It's a good photo.
No, she's it a great is. For 5 years old. Yeah, that's the Slapjack mask. Why do I have that?
Yeah, that was my question. Why do you have it?
So I actually don't have a T-bar mask. I had a T-bar mask, and I sent it to NXT when I got moved down to NXT. If you remember the first vignette that we ran, which I think was Halloween Havoc 2022, there was an anonymous vignette where it was like they like dropped a mask into a like a burning fire in a bin or something in like a trash can. So I remember they decided to run that vignette like 3 days before that event, and I live in New England, so I'm not in the Orlando area, so I had to like overnight FedEx them the mask, and they were like, "Are you okay if we burn this?" And I was like, "Please do." So I don't have one. I think that Mason maybe has one. Just because we were all friends with Jason Baker, who's the WWE mask maker, and he's just tremendous, just like one of the greatest assets that company has. Tremendous human being too. And they had like a bunch of spares, so they sent them to him for some reason. So I think he has a bunch of them. I don't. The only one I have is the Slapjack mask because I don't remember the exact circumstances, but I remember that Pretty Deadly somehow ended up with the Slapjack mask because I think they're friends with Shane, and I think he sent them the mask to like put in the background of a shot, or maybe they were doing like I don't remember this very well, but I have a very hazy picture of Pretty Deadly was doing like a Halloween, like we're stuck in a haunted house type thing, maybe. Okay. That happened, something like that, and they wanted to plant the Slapjack mask in the back of the vignette as like a little Easter egg, but it wasn't approved. Yes. So they were just like, we have this Slapjack mask, can you give it back to Shane? And I was like, yeah, I'll see Shane. And I never see Shane lives in even if I did see Shane, I'm not giving him the mask back. It's too much fun to have a Slapjack. But yeah, I just have it. I had to go. Somebody tagged me in like the news that WWE secured the trademark, and I was like, ooh, this will. I'm in my mind, I was like, I think I have that mask somewhere, so I could just do like a Jim Carrey the mask.
That was going to be kind of my follow. It looks like when you put it on, it's just going to, you know, possess you there.
It does. And... it does. Yeah. You don't want to mess around with that mask. Yet, you'll turn into Slapjack and you'll have to go back to your home planet.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're, you know, speaking of the Slapjack and T-Bar, you're someone that has had their name change a few times. You went from Donovan Dijak to Donovan Dijakovic, and then the T-Bar change. What was kind of the biggest?
My first WWE name was
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
On television. Yeah.
So tell us kind of like, what's the biggest positive or negative you can get from positive and negative you can get from like a name change? Like, is it kind of like, what is kind of like the biggest thing that you got from getting your name changed so many different times? And what's kind of like the most difficult obstacle that you had with the name changes?
I mean, everything has pros and cons, right? I always tried to view it from a positive standpoint, right? Like every name change is an opportunity for reinvention, right? So like I started off on the indies as Dijak, and then, but I started off on the indies in 2013, which was like the peak of Ryback, if you remember. He was like main eventing WWE pay-per-views at the time. So I was like, I don't want to be Dijak if there's a Ryback. So, you know, I don't want to be like the same thing as another guy. Even though Dijak's my real name, that's not his real name. But or maybe it is now.
Did he change it? I feel like he changed it.
I think he did. I think he did.
Well, nobody keeps up with him. I don't know. It was actually a friend of mine who's a referee for Chaotic Wrestling for a long time. He helped book and produce as well. His name is Mike Crockett, who came up with the name Donovan and pitched it to me. And I said, yeah, it sounds like a great name. So we went with Donovan Dijak from 2013 to 2017, which was when they decided to use my shoot name on NXT. Well, no, I don't think Well, I was on house shows and stuff like Coconut Loops and stuff in 2017. I didn't start on NXT television until the beginning of 2018. And that was the first time on TV they debuted the name Chris Dijak, which, again, I wasn't thrilled about. It's just my real name, right? They didn't even ask. They're just like, here's your name. So that's what we're going to use. I wasn't thrilled about it just because I don't like the name Chris as a professional wrestling name for me specifically, because to me, it's like when the lights hit and the, you know, the music hits and I walk through the curtain, the job isn't to be myself, right? Like Chris is like the kid who went to school and collected Pokemon cards and like I'm a good father to my kids and I love my wife and stuff. Like that's not who I am when I walk through the curtain. I don't want people to see that person, right? That's not most of the time I'm a bad guy. So like it's not, oh, he loves his kids. Yeah, it's not, that's not a deplorable human being. So it's harder to sort of put on that figurative mask at that point. If I'm using my real name, but you know, that's the hand I was dealt. So I tried to make it work as best I could, but we pretty quickly came up with Dominik Dijakovic, which I thought was a great name. And I thought it was interesting and unique. The only part about it that I didn't love was that it was so many syllables. I think that's like seven syllables, which is unheard of in WWE. There's nobody with that many syllables in their like proper first and last name. Like if you have a big moniker, like the unbelievable one or so, you know, whatever. And then your name becomes longer. But in terms of just a first and last name, I think I probably had the most syllables out of anybody on the entire roster. So in my mind, I was like, there's no way this name lasts. Like they're going to take away the first name or they're going to take away this last name or whatever, you know, something is going to happen. And I was right. It got much shorter and became like the least amount of letters in all of WWE when in 2020, I got changed to T-Bar, which was all caps. And I heard through the grapevine that was a Vince call and that he thought it was like an acronym for That Boy Ain't Right or something like that.
Wait, what? That's awesome.
I not confirmed. He never told me that, but that's what they said in the production meeting or something like that. I don't know. I think Jerry Lawler said it on commentary one of the first nights too, and it did not hit or stick or anything in that capacity. But yeah, that's I guess what T-Bar stood for in some capacity. And again, you know, my job is now and was at that time to make it work, right? If I'm given something, my job is to make it work as best I can. So I tried to make T-Bar work as best I could. I tried to give the letters meaning. T stands for tyrant. I tried to brand myself as like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. You know, you bring all sorts of ideas and concepts to the table. But, you know, it's an uphill battle, right? It's kind of an odd name. I think people heard that and they were like, what on earth is T-Bar? I think the most common term for like a T-Bar is like a machine that you do a row with. So people were like, are you a rowing machine? I don't know. Yeah, I tried to make T-Bar work as best I could until 2022, like we mentioned already. Yeah. And that's when, for the first time in WWE, they sat down and were like, what do you want to be called? And I was like, thank you for asking. I'd love to be just Dijak again, because at this point now it's, you know, obviously 9 years later, Ryback's out of the picture for the most part, in a professional wrestling landscape anyway. So yeah, then we were able to go with Dijak from 2022 until 2024. And then once I left WWE, there was some question in my head as to whether legally I could use Dijak. And I said, you know what? I'm going back to the Indies. I'm going back to my roots. I want to remind people what Donovan Dijak is all about. It felt like it made sense. And I also didn't want to get hit with, you know, a lawsuit or a cease and desist or whatever. So I said, you know what? This works and this covers my ass on all fronts. So I circled back to Donovan Dijak. And that's where we stand today.
We have a regular in our chat asking when the next episode of TEW with MXM and Damo will be.
Well, that's on them, man. Probably not for a long time. Their hands are so busy in so many different things. I know that they still stream constantly. They do AEW games. They do all sorts of content creation. So they're busy as hell. They being MXM in AEW, for those of for the 99.9% of people listening to this who have no idea what you're talking about, TEW is a
stream. No, we love TEW here.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
TEW is a stream that I used to do with MXM, the Maximum Male Models, Mansoor and Mason, who are good friends of mine. We talk every single day. But yeah, in terms of the actual streaming element of it, I think they're very busy with all the content creation that they do with other stuff, so that I don't have time to dick around with me. Because TEW is like a fantasy booking thing where we all book our own different federations and sort of compete against one another. Or I think in this inclination, we're working together. With my eternal wisdom, my booking style is a very like over the top, late 90s, early 2000s, like Vince McMahon type, where I don't care about wrestling at all. I want the most spectacle possible. So like Goldberg is constantly my champion and he's like blowing up helicopters and propelling them. That's the most outrageous shit you've ever heard in your life. But that's like, which is funny because me as a professional wrestler, I'm such a in-ring like purist. Like I'd love nothing more than like a good like five-star technical match and stuff like that. But maybe not technical, but like in terms of like I love the in-ring product, but as a booker, I'm the exact opposite. I couldn't care less about the in-ring
product. We gotta get you on the Ring of Hallucinations booking team.
Enlighten me. I don't know what that is.
Oh, this is the promotion we've essentially created here. At some point, Tony Khan is going to give me the pencil to ROH, and I'm going to rebrand it as Ring of Hallucinations, where it's less about wrestling and more about like drugs and gambling and things like that. So there's not going to be a ton of wrestling. It's going to be, you know, like we're going to have a Tony D'Angelo character. He's going to be laundering money and everything. All the fans we're going to pass out bags with not drugs, but drugs. So they can take that during the show. We have a blindfold match, but the crowd is actually in blindfold. So they're just like reacting to the scenery, essentially.
I'll say this. There is room in the professional wrestling landscape for a like alternative universe promotion, right?
Yeah.
People have tried it somewhat successfully in the back. Like this is like the Chikaras of the world and even the Lucha Undergrounds of the world to a bit of a lesser extent. It obviously doesn't have like super mainstream appeal as much as like a here's some guys fighting over championships type promotion does, but I think as an alternative, I think it really has legs if someone could really financially back it and get behind it because it does so well. I'm lucky on the indies. I get to sort of sample with a lot of this. I've got to anytime I get to play a character who's anyone besides Donovan Dijak or some incarnation of myself is such a joy for me, right? I have a local promotion I work for called Rad Pro Wrestling where I get to play this like a Russian defector called Volk Milica or something like that. I'm about to play Johnny Cage in Chicago on a quasi Mortal Kombat cosplay show. And the crowd eats that stuff up. They love it because it's so different and so unique. And we as performers, we love that opportunity as well. So I think that like, if I had to guess, if there's ever going to be another major promotion in the United States, I think it might be something like that. Cause like how many alternatives of like the same, like we're sort of WWE, like how many can there be of like, we're just guys and we're trying to win the championship. Like, yeah, that's awesome. And it obviously you have these over the top characters and it's incredibly well received, but like you can only do it so many times before it's like, oh, you're, you know, like how many different inclinations of the same thing can you do? So, in my opinion, it's probably about two, right? So once you get past two, it's like, now we're in the, now you're the C show, now you're the D show, right? Do you really want that? So I think if something's going to really take off, it might want to take a different approach, right, in terms of what they're presenting as a product. So that's my opinion anyway. And I think, I think there's opportunity to do that. So that might be cool one day.
We got ideas here on this show for over the top stuff.
Ring of Hallucinations like is definitely
drugs and murder. That's what we're all about.
Well, I assume hallucinatory. Tory drugs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want like a bunch of guys on like Somas, like,
right, right. You know, we're gonna.
That's the real.
That's the real drugs. Yeah.
You don't want to show that. People are like, you only see that on Dark Side of the Ring. You know, you don't want to.
See, our peer rules matcher is actually like, oh, you're not gonna do your drugs. But you're not going to take your hallucinogens.
Nobody's high in the peer rules.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Yeah.
Everybody's so
happy, and I'll do it. Yeah.
There we go. We got a signee. We got Ty Jack as a signee.
First signee.
Hallucinations.
He's all hallucinating.
Yeah, sounds good.
Tajay, we appreciate you joining us here today. Let everybody know where they can find you at and everything you got coming up.
Sure, yeah. So all my socials and stuff, everything is at Dijack, FYE. FYE stands for Feast Your Eyes, not the record company or whatever. In terms of what I'm doing, the biggest shows I work for currently are MLW. I think you mentioned, is it September 13th?
13th,
yep. Yeah, Saturday, September 13th, Fightland. I don't know if it's sold out or not yet, but it will be sold out. So if it's not, you're very lucky. Go get your tickets right now. It's in the Dallas, Texas area. I don't think it's Dallas exactly, but it's right around the Dallas, Texas area. So yeah, go grab those. Keep your eyes peeled for my CMLL appearances coming up. I've got a few more of those coming up, and they haven't been announced yet, so keep your eyes peeled for that. And yeah, if you want to check me out or train with me and learn with me, I'm an instructor at the New England Pro Wrestling Academy, which is in North Andover, Massachusetts. I train there almost every Wednesday night, unless I'm in Mexico. So yeah, I'll be there tomorrow night. That is anyprowrestling.com. And if you want to learn with me anywhere in the world, you can go to dijackwrestling.com. That's my online, training courses that I do live and in person. So yeah, that's where you can find me, dijackwrestling.com for that.
There you go. We appreciate it, Dijack. Good luck against Riddle at Fightland. Yes, we'll be in touch about Ring of Hallucinations.
Sounds good. Yeah. I'm going to need at least $1.8 million. So.
Oh, well, we'll pay you in drugs. That's how we finance this thing.
See, I told you I'm going to be a great champion.
Thank you, Dijack.
Have a good day.
Bye. Bye.